This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A Monday morning bounce.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. After 8 painful days of losses, Wall Street is finally rallying this morning. There was an announcement from the Fed and several central banks in Europe about pouring more cash into the markets. We'll have something on that in a moment. But first, let's check on the numbers. So far, the Dow is up about 5% in the early going. That's 356 points. The NASDAQ has gained 71, and the S&P 500 is up 40. In Europe, stocks are gaining 4 to 8% so far. In Hong Kong this morning, shares closed 10% higher. The Nikkei was closed for a holiday. As I said, the Fed and central banks in Europe announced unlimited short-term funding for banks. Unlimited. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
The Fed's long had arrangements with other central banks to give them access to U.S. dollars. But until now, there was always a limit to how much U.S. currency the Fed would lend. Not anymore, says Georgetown University finance professor James Angel.
So what they're saying is, come and get it, guys. You need dollars. We got them.
The idea is to inject foreign central banks with plenty of coveted dollars so they can keep lending to other banks. He says it's a major step towards ending the liquidity crisis. But he says the Fed has another motive, too.
Since the dollar is the reserve currency, or the acting reserve currency, if the dollar doesn't work when you need it, people will switch to something else.
Like the euro, which has been encroaching on the dollar's turf. Angel says the Fed's move should help the dollar maintain its role as the world's favorite currency. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
This could be a short-lived stock market rally, or maybe Wall Street is on its way to climbing back up. But there's such a long way to go. This day last year, the Dow was at 14,093. Yeah, that's 5,000 points.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan joins us as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the financial crisis. Alan, I remember you being surprised last October the Dow was setting records. Why was that again?
A lot of the dimensions of the subprime problem, which has now turned into a cancer in the financial system. Mm-hmm. I mean, that stuff was out there, and I couldn't understand why the market was so high. The other thing I can't understand is why I didn't sell everything. And I think it's because I didn't listen to myself, but then again, I rarely do.
Well, hindsight, you know.
It's beyond belief. I actually even have some statistics showing how much the broad U.S. stock market lost in the year between October 9th, 2007 and last Thursday. Do you want to know what the number is in trillions?
I don't know, but give it to me anyway.
According to the Wilshire people, it was $8.3 trillion or 42%. It's not been a very good year. I saw nothing like this coming.
But what exactly is going on right now? Because the bailout passed, and it can't just be financial stocks because these indexes have lots of different companies on them.
Right. I think it's total panic. Anybody who had borrowed money, had bought stocks on margin, is getting margin calls. A lot of hedge funds, at least in the U.S., had a lot of redemptions as of October 1st, and they may be selling at any price. And a couple of times during that ghastly week, I sort of stuck my head up, threw a little money into a few selected issues, which is what you're supposed to do, and got just totally stomped to the point where Thursday night, I just decided I didn't want to look at my stocks anymore.
But it does seem there's got to be a lot of buyers out there ready to pounce.
There have to be. I mean, I'm a buyer getting ready to pounce. This can't go on like this. Any individual stock will go to zero. The market will not go to zero. I mean, it just won't.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
My pleasure.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, October 13th on Marketplace.org. Whether you have a 401k or a pension, these are troubled times for anyone close to retirement. This week, the National Council on Teacher Retirement holds its annual convention, and they'll get a report on how their pension funds are doing. Danielle Carson has that.
Despite the gyrations in the stock market, public pension funds have remained fairly insulated from the ups and downs. Keith Brainerd with the National Association of State Retirement Administrators offers one reason.
Public pension funds are very long-term investors. They have the ability to ride out market volatility like we're seeing right now.
Public pension funds total more than $2.5 trillion. Brainerd plans to tell the convention trustees that their money is secure because it's diversified in bonds, real estate, and stock.
They don't have all their eggs in one basket. The hit on these funds is not nearly as bad as it would be had their assets not been as diversified as they are.
But the picture isn't nearly as rosy for people with private retirement plans because those are heavily invested in stocks. Pension plans lost as much as $2 trillion this past year, most of which were in IRAs and 401k accounts. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Many, many countries are suffering in this economic crisis, perhaps none more so than Iceland. Its three largest banks have gone bust. The whole economy is in peril. IMF officials have arrived on the island and should unveil a rescue package any day. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has been talking to members of Iceland's largest expat community in London.
Iceland's oldest hymn rings out in a small church in London, offering Icelandic émigrés solace in the midst of one of their country's biggest ever disasters.
We have had earthquakes, we have had eruptions, but this one, yeah, it's the biggest, yes. Nothing compares to it.
Siggi Arnason, rector of the Icelandic church in Britain, says his congregations have been packed with bewildered expats.
People are afraid, yeah, some are angry and frustrated, sad.
Once the poorest people in Europe, they made themselves the richest. Icelanders now face penury again. Among the first casualties in London are hundreds of students, like Kristin, whose money lies frozen and virtually worthless back home.
I haven't been able to move my funds in Iceland to Britain, so I'm unable to pay my rent and I'm unable to pay my school fees.
Many of the émigrés feel they've been reviled by the British press. 300,000 Brits also have money frozen in Icelandic accounts. Siggi Olafsdottir edits an Icelandic magazine in London.
Suddenly, Iceland has become one of the most hated countries in England, which is, you know, unbelievable, really.
Her sister, Alda, says she's even taken the Icelandic sticker off her car. Alda blames a small band of Icelandic entrepreneurs for expanding rapidly abroad and racking up debts that are six times the size of the Icelandic economy.
Because of money people, because of a very few money people and investments being made, it's affected a whole nation.
The émigrés acknowledge that Iceland may now have to fall back on its oldest industry, fishing. But Alda says the Viking spirit will out, Iceland will not fall back into permanent poverty.
We will fight this, we will get through this. It's going to be tough, it's going to take a while, but we will rise again.
In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Morgan Stanley is saying domo arigato in a big way this morning. Morgan signed a deal with the Japanese bank Mitsubishi Financial to get a $9 billion investment. Morgan really needs the money. And guess what? Japanese banks have the cash. Our own Scott Tong's been asking questions in Tokyo.
Why are Japanese banks among the last financial firms standing? Keiichiro Kobayashi is with a government economic think tank. He says banks here suffered their own bad loans in the 80s and 90s, so they learned not to get adventurous.
The Japanese banks suffered for 15 years, so they become very risk-averse.
Appropriately conservative? Maybe. Economist Richard Jerram is with Macquarie Securities.
I think it's questionable whether the non-participation was because they were smart or because they were lucky. Basically, it was simply a question of timing.
Jerram says when the U.S. banks were getting drunk, the Japanese banks were still hungover.
They'd only just realized they had enough capital and were starting to look for better returns just as the U.S. started to blow up. And if it had happened a couple of years later, they would probably have been far more exposed than they ended up being.
Today, Japanese banks sit on $500 trillion in cash, some of which they're investing in struggling U.S. banks. One Mitsubishi Financial executive calls it the chance of a lifetime to buy a piece of Morgan Stanley. So is Wall Street under threat of foreign ownership? Jeff Kingston at Temple University's Tokyo campus says no. He says this time, the Japanese may end up passive minority investors or simply bad investors.
We don't really know the extent of this financial crisis, and one worries that the Japanese banks and investors may be piling in a bit too hastily.
And there's no sense in Japan that they want to barge in and take over the financial universe. One analyst says the Japanese banks have neither the greed nor the drive to do it. Perhaps the best they can offer the world is their valuable cash to put up and then shut up. In Tokyo, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.